Well, it's certainly a blessing to be here this evening, a blessing to sing those words of truth and to read those words of truth. So I thank you for everyone participating in that. And certainly, as we open up the Word of God together this evening, I want to continue in that. Hopefully you have there your bulletins, and you'll notice that I'm not following the normal method of preaching through a specific text, but we're going to briefly go through just a variety of passages from Matthew 1 and 2 and then Luke 1 and 2 together this evening, recognizing the revelation that was given to individuals about who Jesus is and his purpose in coming. Now, when most people are born, they receive very little attention. Sometimes proud parents or grandparents will put in a birth announcement into the local paper. More commonly today, they'll put photos of those child on social media. Okay, I think when I was born, my grandparents were annoyed that they received a phone call from my parents because my grandparents, as well as the rest of the nation, was watching a sailing race called America's Cup, and Australia won that race. But that was far and beyond better than a grandson being born to them. Sometimes we also hear about children being born on the side of the road. And for a moment, that causes us to pay attention or be entertained. There may be some other unusual birth story that we hear about of a child we hear on the news. And yet again, that entertains us just for a moment. And celebrities will sometimes be flooded with media attention if they have children. But for most people, the birth of a child they don't know is just another statistic. And so to most people, Jesus' birth would have been completely insignificant. Mary and Joseph weren't celebrities. They were just poor strangers in a foreign town. And the only newsworthy detail about Mary's birth was it was at a stinky stable with the animals. And yet, as we trace the events in the months leading up to Jesus being born and after his birth, we see there is something special about this baby. It wasn't where he was born, who his parents were, the date of his birth, which probably wasn't December 25th. It wasn't his birth weight, his birth length that suggests he's special. It is the revelation of and response to Jesus' birth that describes Jesus as special. So think about this for example. Why would rich foreigners travel months to visit a child they didn't know, let alone bring him hugely expensive gifts and bow down to worship? What about Simeon and Anna in the temple? Why would they pay particular attention to this one poor family when every firstborn son of Jewish parents was required to go to the temple and be dedicated to the Lord? Why would shepherds desert their flock to visit a newborn baby and then tell everyone about it? And so this evening we're going to answer those questions as we consider also, as we sang earlier, what child is this? So we're going to go, as I said, quickly through a tour covering passages in Matthew and Luke. We're going to cover about a two-year span of time, and we're going to cover lots of distance in miles. And we're going to look at the revelation the characters in the first Christmas receive from God and how they respond. And I realize many of you know all of these stories. The kids themselves could tell all of these stories we go through, so I may not be adding more information. But I pray that you will, that we will, desire to think more deeply of the magnificent promises of this first Christmas. And to reflect on the deep riches of God's wisdom in his plan and the execution of salvation. And to grow in our understanding of Jesus' identity and his destiny as revealed through Scripture. Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, it's been a joy and a blessing to come together and sing your praises as we reflect this evening on Christ the King, being born of the Virgin Mary. Father, we thank you in this moment and pray now that you would help us to focus as we continue this reflection, as we continue to reflect on the God man, as we reflect on God incarnate, as we reflect on the truths that have been revealed. Lord, we thank you for the revelation that we have within Scripture, that we can open our Bibles and we can read the revelation that was given to these first characters, or the characters of the first Christmas. Thank you that we've been able to open our Bibles in both Old and New Testament earlier today. And again, just to understand the revelation that you have given us as to who Christ is and what he has done, what he will do in the future. And so, Father, I pray that this evening you would be blessed by the preaching of your word, that we would be blessed by the hearing and application of your word. Father, we give this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, or this evening, going through these passages, we're going to really compile the perspectives and responses from the characters of the Nativity. So if you want to go to Luke chapter 1, we're going to work through the Christmas story in chronological order, starting with God's revelation of Jesus' identity and destiny before he was born. Okay, God's revelation of Jesus' identity and destiny before he was born. And so first we read God's revelation to Mary through the angel Gabriel. And in this encounter with Gabriel, Mary is told in verse 31 of Luke chapter 1, she will have a son whose name will be Jesus, which means God saves. And then in verse 32, Gabriel says to Jesus, or says of Jesus, that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And then he continues, God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and over his kingdom there will be no end. In verse 35, we're told, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And so with these words, the angel is declaring to Mary that Jesus is God and man, that he is the King that the Jews have been waiting for. And then in verse 38, we see Mary's humble response. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Hey, what an incredible response that is. If we think about Mary's situation, she was committing herself to God no matter what happened and what other people thought of her. For her to be pregnant without being married was going to be a public disgrace. It would have brought shame to her family. She may have expected Joseph, her fiancé, to break up with her. And she may even have realized that she could be stoned to death, according to Jewish law. But despite all those unknowns and the questions she may have had, she committed herself to the Lord. And so that's the first revelation and response. And then next, as we continue, it seems Mary quickly went to visit her relative Elizabeth, and we read about God's revelation to Elizabeth about who Jesus is, this time in revelation by the Holy Spirit. And so in Luke 1, 41 to 43, it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? It's God's revelation here that caused Elizabeth to respond in blessing upon Mary, as God allowed her to understand, to know that Mary's baby was going to be the Lord. And so while Elizabeth knew that she was having a miracle baby. John the Baptist, we read here that God revealed Mary's boy before he was born was going to be greater than John the Baptist. For he was going to be Elizabeth's Lord, the promised Messiah. And the next person who received and responded to revelation of who Jesus was before he was ever born is Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. And so in verses 67 to 79, it captures Zechariah being filled with the Holy Spirit. He prophesies about his son, John the Baptist. But he also, in that passage, is testifying to the revelation he received that Jesus would be Israel's deliverer, the one promised to Abraham thousands of years before, and he would be the Messiah from the line of David. And so in verse 69, Zechariah said of God, has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. This is the revelation to Zechariah about Jesus' identity and destiny as the one who would be of the house of David. And so that was the third revelation and response. And then sometime before Jesus was born, we know that Joseph also received a revelation from God through an angel. So if you go to Matthew chapter 1, we see there in the Gospel of Matthew, the revelation given to Joseph. Matthew 1:21, Joseph is told Jesus will save his people from their sins. And then in verse 23, Joseph is reminded of God's word from the prophet Isaiah, which we read earlier. Okay, the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years earlier, had said that there would be a virgin who would have a baby in his name, and he would be called Emmanuel. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So all of this revelation from God was before Jesus was ever born. And so far then, we've seen God reveal the identity and destiny of Jesus to Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah. And in summary, from that revelation, Jesus was going to be the promised Messiah, great and called the Son of the Most High, holy, the Son of God, the Savior from sin, the deliverer of Israel, the eternal King of David's family, the Lord and Master, and God Himself with His people. So in this we see Jesus' identity and destiny wasn't based on his works or accomplishments. Because Jesus' identity and destiny was determined long before he was born. We read earlier from Genesis 3:15, and even from that stage when Adam and Eve first sinned, God was already beginning to reveal to us his plan for salvation and both the identity and destiny of that Savior. The Savior that we now know to be Jesus Christ. And so even while Jesus was in his mother's womb, he was revealed as God's special chosen. It's like he was inducted into the Hall of Fame before he was born. That he was knighted by the king for extraordinary service he was yet to perform. It's like he topped the list of the world's richest people before he had any money. Or that he was a recipient of the Victoria Cross before even going to war. And if anyone was to say this was just the high hopes of relatives, or the crazy claim of wackos, we read even greater testimony from strangers of Jesus' identity and destiny after he was born. And so as we consider what child is this, we're going to look at God's revelation of Jesus' identity and destiny after he was born. So if you go to Luke chapter 2, we see the first testimony recorded after Jesus was born is another revelation from God through angels. This came to the shepherds near Bethlehem. And so in verses 10 and 11 of Luke 2, an angel told these shepherds he came with good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Again, this description given to the shepherds reveals Jesus' identity and destiny. His destiny was to save, and his identity as Christ means he was God's special anointed one. As Lord, most likely it's referring to him and identifying him as being God himself. And so it's no wonder after this revelation, the shepherds took off to Bethlehem to find Jesus and told Mary and Joseph everything they'd heard and seen. And so excited about meeting their Savior, they then told everyone else about it too, even though it may have threatened their jobs. Okay, the shepherds basically told everyone they had failed to perform their task because they abandoned their post to meet a baby. So if they were employed, can you imagine their boss? A rumor has it that you left my sheep to visit a baby. And the shepherds, yes, yes, while we were looking after your sheep during the night, an angel came and told us our Savior had been born and was in Bethlehem, so we had to go and see him. And the boss says, an angel told you? No one else, just you? You put all my sheep in danger because you thought an angel told you the Messiah was born in Bethlehem and you should go visit him? And the shepherd, well, yes, me and the other shepherds. And the boss, let me get this straight. You expect me to believe the Christ, the one who is going to save our people, who is going to rule over Israel, was born in a stable, an angel told you to visit this family? They probably lost their jobs. But to a natural audience without supernatural revelation, this story would be just about impossible to believe. In fact, because it is so hard to believe from a natural perspective, I would say that actually further testifies to it being true. But as we continue, around 6 weeks after Jesus was born, we read of another revelation given about Jesus' identity and destiny. Revelation here took place at the temple as a man named Simeon took Jesus into his arms. And so in Luke 2, 30 to 32, we read his words. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Here we see greater revelation of Jesus' identity and destiny. Here a man that had never met Jesus, who probably didn't know his parents. And so we see here in this reference, Jesus himself is salvation. Meaning salvation isn't an object or an action. Salvation is in Jesus. Simeon said, my eyes have seen your salvation. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. John 14:6. And in John 3:18, whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And then another key part of this revelation to Simeon is that Jesus was not just for the Jews. God's plan for salvation, to save people from their sins, to deliver them from the eternal consequences of sin, was for Israel and for people of the whole world. Okay, the Bible teaches that all of humanity have fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, and the wages of sin is death. But that everyone and anyone who confesses with their mouth Jesus as Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. And so this baby was to be the Savior of the world. And in verse 33 it says, Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about him. But the praise and prophecy for the baby didn't stop there. Because next we see an old widow, the prophetess Anna, receive revelation from God of who Jesus was. And so in Luke 2:38, she began to, it says here, give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And while Mary and Joseph were amazed at everything that was happening, we can only imagine what everyone else was thinking that day at the temple. This baby's going to save us? He's no different than my son, or my grandson, my nephew. He's no different than the neighborhood kid. He's no different even than my brother. But by the revelation of God, Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna all knew this boy was special. They knew this boy was the Messiah. They knew that he was the Savior of the world. And then in a faraway land, some other men also knew who this baby was. As we go to Matthew chapter 2, we read of the wise men or the magi. And it records their part to play in the testimony of Jesus' identity and destiny. Because God revealed to them through the skies, through creation, that Israel's king had been born. And so in Matthew 2:2 it says, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose in the east and have come to worship him. Okay, these men were so moved by the revelation they received, it's likely they traveled as far as, if not further, from Innisfail to Vancouver without cars or aeroplanes. And these men knew Jesus was not an ordinary child. And if you look at it, we notice that they didn't refer to him as prince, they referred to him as king. And then it's interesting that even after they couldn't find the king at the palace, they didn't give up their search or doubt their quest. And then on top of that, when they did find Jesus at home with Mary, they didn't base their actions on external appearance, but God's revelation of who Jesus was, so that it says in Matthew 2:11, they fell down and worshipped him. They fell down and worshipped him. So as we take all of God's revelation to the characters of this first Christmas, we see a testimony of Jesus' identity and destiny revealed decades before he began his ministry. And what was revealed in the Old Testament over thousands of years before Jesus, we now see compacted in these couple of years surrounding Jesus' birth. And in this, as we've gone through it, this evening we see God's revelation given to and a response from rich and poor, locals and foreigners, men and women, priests and non-priests, young and old, family and strangers, single and married, and white-collar and blue-collar workers. Essentially, these testimonies represent all of humanity and demonstrates God does not favor one group over another group. That he doesn't exclude one category of people and include the other category. And yet, unless God gives us revelation, we will miss the identity and destiny of Jesus. I read something a while back about the story of this man who had been bumped up to first class on a flight. And he was having general conversation with the man next to him, and as those awkward conversations seemed to go, they were exchanging names and occupations. And then this man, after he got home, probably feeling relaxed from first class flying, casually asked his kids if they knew an actor named Tom Cruise. And the man had sat next to Tom Cruise and had no idea who he was, even when Tom Cruise gave his name and his occupation. But the same can be said for us today. If we can have an understanding of facts and figures about Jesus, but unless we receive revelation of him, we don't know who he really is. Today, this revelation is given to us in the Bible. And we have the recorded prophecy of the Old Testament, as we read earlier. We have the recorded prophecy and revelation of these couple of years around Jesus' birth that we've looked at this evening. We have eyewitness accounts and testimony of those who lived with Christ, even up to his death, and then knew him as the resurrected Lord. Because what God revealed to the characters in the Christmas story, Jesus fulfilled through his perfect life, his sacrificial death for sin on the cross, and his victorious resurrection. But unless God opens our heart, people's heart, the truth of the Bible will sound crazy. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. And so if any of you here tonight think that the story of Jesus is nonsense, just a made-up story, or just a good-sounding story, I would urge you to open up the revelation from God in the Bible and read the truth of who he is and what he has done. But Jesus was not an ordinary child, and he grew up to be no ordinary man. He is the God-man, fully and truly God, fully and truly man. He's the only one to save us from sin and death. And so if you turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ, you'll be saved. And for those of us who have received this revelation, may we respond like Joseph and Mary in humble submission to our Lord and his word. May we respond in words of praise like Elizabeth, Zechariah, and Simeon. May we respond like the wise men and worship our King. And may we respond like Anna and the shepherds and tell others the great news. And so what child is this? Jesus was a special baby and he completed the mission he was sent for. Jesus is the Son of the Most High. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Jesus will return to be King over Israel and King over all the earth. That's Jesus' identity and his destiny, as revealed through God and his word. Let's pray. Almighty God, words cannot express the truth that is contained and revealed within Scripture, because our minds are finite and unable to comprehend your magnificent eternal plan that you yourself would come from heaven, take on the humble form of a servant, and that you would, even to the point of death, save those who are deserving of death. And yet, Father, I thank you for the revelation of Christ that we do have and can comprehend. Father, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would open our eyes, the eyes of our heart this evening, whether we're saved or not saved, to understand, to have revelation of Jesus' identity and destiny, that we would respond in worship like the wise men, that we would respond in praise like Simeon, Zechariah, and Elizabeth. May we be humble in our obedience and submission like Mary and Joseph, and like the shepherds and Anna. May we proclaim this good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for this gift. And may we respond to such a great gift with every aspect of our life, that our lives would be a spiritual act of worship and service unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.